San Diego Center for Spiritual Living, Sunday, July 12, 2020. Today's lesson is, If It's Going to Be, with Reverend Dr. Constance Cook Corr. Good morning.
Good morning.
It is a hot one out there today. It is promising to be even hotter this afternoon, so we all get to celebrate. What a beautiful day it is in our neighborhood. If you have the opportunity to get out to the beach today, I think the parking lots are open again now. They just closed them for the 4th of July weekend. But if you go to the beach, stay safe. Stay safe. Don't walk around hugging all the strangers saying, isn't it great to be here? So let us again take this opportunity to anchor ourselves together in the infinite truth. There is one power, one presence, one infinite intelligence which flows through all creation. And I call that God, the living spirit almighty, one indestructible, absolute, and self-existent cause in which we live and move and have our being. And this is the truth of who we are. And as we greet each other at the end of our talk with the Sanskrit word namaste, today I would like to open this talk also with namaste. So namaste. And that means that the divine essence in me sees and recognizes the divine essence in you as we are one of the whole. So I honor and bless you as a part of all. So here we are on July 12th. And this is a month that is usually associated with red, white, and blue and flags and picnics and celebrations and fireworks, and of course the concept of individual freedom, because we as a free nation guarantee the individual freedoms. If you missed last week's talk, One Nation Under God, go to our podcasts. It's on our website. It says listen to our podcast. Go there and listen to it. I listened to it again, and I personally was impressed. I was amazed how when you listen to the whole thing all together, it really came together greater than I expected. So it's a good one, One Nation Under God. And this morning we are continuing our theme for July, the freedom of self-reliance. So listen carefully to the correlation, the importance, and the power of those words. The freedom of self-reliance. You and I are free to rely upon our own mind, our own discernment, our own decisions, and our own self-determination to live the life we choose in this great nation of ours. And say that again. You and I are free to rely upon our own mind, our own discernment, our own decisions, and our own self-determination to live the life we choose. It's our divine inheritance to do so. It truly is. Our country was founded 244 years ago upon the sacred realization of divine providence. God, the living spirit almighty, the one universal, creative, first cause of all things, now and forever, seen and unseen, visible and invisible. Now we know that everything in the universe is cause and effect. And so we say, well, here is some effect. What is its cause? When we go all the way back to the very first cause, that is the source. That is the divine. And so everything that has then occurred has been as a result of that first cause. The freedoms we enjoy today are the result of our forefathers' wisdom to recognize and affirm that we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now, for these remaining weeks of July, we're going to explore just what it means to be free in mind and body and soul, and how you and I can create the life we have always known was possible. I'll be calling upon the wisdom of some great teachers and mystics: Ralph Waldo Emerson, Norman Vincent Peale, Dr. Ernest Holmes, Jesus Christ, Jesus the Christ, Buddha, Napoleon Hill, Dr. Robert Schuller, Reverend John Pulaski, Rumi, and other great mystics throughout history. Emmett Fox was a New Thought minister and a prolific spiritual author. He wrote the following in one of his articles entitled The American Spirit. The task which each American has before him is to realize the American dream in his own life to the utmost that he is able by making himself personally free. Free in body, soul, and spirit. Free in body by demonstrating bodily health. Free in soul by liberating himself as far as he can from every clogging prejudice, whether of party, race, or creed. And free in spirit by rising above all the fetters of personal greed and jealousy, petty spite, mean pride, and small resentments that are the common handicap of humanity. Prophetic, insightful. What Emmett Fox is saying is that true freedom takes a personal and individual commitment to let go of old thoughts and beliefs. The freedom of self-reliance depends upon your total participation and taking full responsibility for your thoughts, feelings, and emotions. So this morning, I'm asking all of you to consider, just consider, what it means to live a life of health, happiness, love, creativity, and abundant prosperity, knowing that with God, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. This is known as possibility thinking. And in line with possibility thinking, this talk is, if it's going to be, and you can imagine dot, dot, dot. Because if it's going to be is not a complete sentence. We need something to complete that sentence. So if it's going to be, it's up to who? Me. If it's going to be, it's up to me. That sounds familiar to you? That's because we use it a lot in New Thought. What it means is no one else can do it for you. Just like no one else can give you your spiritual awareness, that's something that you have to do. If you want things in your life, nobody can do them for you. Your path is unique. You are the builder, the constructor of your own life. No one can live your life for you. It's an inside job. One of the things I tease my siblings about when we're talking about all our kids, all the nieces and nephews, and they'll be complaining, well, this one's doing that and that one's doing that, and I'll say, you know what, they have every right to do that. that's their path, I'm just glad it's not mine. You know, that's what is floating their boat right now. That's what is making them think that they are progressing or being happy. That is what is giving them a personal sense of who they think they are. Now, I can be their favorite Aunt Connie, but I can't go down and sit every one of them down and say, listen, let me tell you the truth so that we can get you back on your path. That's not how it works. They're going to be on their path no matter what I say. It's my job to still love them. It's my job to still honor them, to say, I understand that's what you believe. Well, aren't you angry about this or that? No. No, you do what you want to do. I respect you. I know how you were raised. You go do what you want to do. And then I remind them that actions have consequences. So you want to go protest? You go ahead and protest. But remember that you are not the only one out there, and actions have consequences. So while you're protesting, I would hope that you would stay away from the people who start getting out of hand. Great. Then they look at me like, who is that woman? I don't think she's really my favorite Aunt Connie. And I tell them, I am. I am. I am also your only Aunt Connie, so I have to be your favorite. This, if it's going to be, it's up to me, became popular through the title of a book written in 1997 by Dr. Robert Schuller, who was the minister of the world-famous Crystal Cathedral and host of the Hour of Power TV show. If it's going to be became a catchphrase that made people think about how most things in life that have any lasting value are the result of self-determination and conscious decision-making. It takes the blame game away from those who thought that someone else can bring happiness or that the world owes them success and fortune. Blaming others for your difficulties is the easy way out. Dr. Schuller was inspired by another New Thought minister and author, Norman Vincent Peale, who in 1952 wrote the landmark book, The Power of Positive Thinking. And that changed the way humanity looked upon the power of the mind and having a positive attitude in life. In fact, Norman Vincent Peale was inspired by our own Dr. Ernest Holmes, author of the Science of Mind textbook and the founder of the religious science movement. Are you noticing a pattern in here, a pattern of thought? All three men, Peale's, Holmes, and Schuller, along with other modern New Thought leaders, paved the way for people to claim their freedom and take responsibility for their own lives. This morning, we're going to look at a three-step process to help you claim your personal freedom and liberate you from limiting beliefs. Liberate you from limiting beliefs. Okay, so the first step is a formula for achieving your dreams, goals, and desires. Possibility plus responsibility equals success. Possibility plus responsibility equals success. Everything is possible. You are responsible for your decisions about how you look at these possibilities. And when you take personal responsibility for the possibility that you are after, you become successful. It's not a guess. It's a fact. Step two is set your priorities and take responsibility for them. Set your priorities and take responsibility for them. And the third step is make the commitment to follow through. So, possibility plus responsibility equals success. Set your priorities and take responsibility for them and make the commitment to follow through. When you take the initiative to put in these three steps, you have claimed your personal freedom to live the life that you deserve. And you don't have to depend on anyone else for your success. If you're in alignment with these ideas in my lesson this morning and would like to claim your freedom of self-reliance, please place your hand over your heart and affirm with me. Today, I claim my freedom of self-reliance.
I claim my freedom of self-reliance.
No one else is responsible.
No one else is responsible.
For my life.
Why?
Because if it's going to be,
it's up to me.
And so it is.
So
breathe. Take a nice, deep, cleansing breath in. And then release it out. This may be one of the most powerful claims that you can make for yourself. We have a lot of spiritual and educational claims that we make in our affirmations. But you have just this moment resigned from the blame game. And you've done it with confidence, clarity, and conviction. Because you just said, no one else is responsible for my life. And in truth, they are not. They are not. Thank goodness. We get to choose. Napoleon Hill wrote the landmark book, Think and Grow Rich. And he said, the eternal laws of nature are available to every person who has the faith and courage to use them. They may be used to bring freedom to a nation or to accumulate riches. So what he's saying there is you can use these laws of nature, the cause and effect, the positive thinking, the visualizing in advance. You can use these to win a game of hopscotch. You can use them to be a professional athlete. You can use them to envision your new job and go to work in your job and create wealth for your family as you continue to make these decisions. You can use them to bring freedom to a nation. That's what our people living on this continent did. They, back in 1776 and before, because this was not something that all of a sudden showed up on July 3rd, 1776, and on the 4th we said, hey, we're not putting up with it. No, this was a pattern of abuse for hundreds of years. So by looking at the new thoughts of the day and the self-reliance and personal responsibility and freedom to think, feel, and do what is good for ourselves that doesn't harm others, our American Revolution came about. And Napoleon Hill interviewed many, many, many successful millionaires. We didn't have billionaires back then. They were all just millionaires. But he interviewed them to find out how did they become successful. And he could see these patterns. Reverend John Pulaski, who is our former senior minister, the late Reverend John Pulaski, musician, mystic, just saw the truth like nobody else. He wrote quite a bit. And one of the things he wrote is, everyone has the ability to independently use the laws of the universe and to use them any way they choose. However, it takes faith and courage to do so. Independence has to do with functioning on your own. It means having the freedom to make the decisions governing your own life, deciding for yourself every day what direction to take and how to get there. But how many of you are truly free and independent? Do you allow your thinking to be influenced by negative thoughts and words that come from sources outside of yourself, or from an internal monologue or conversation, sometimes called monkey mind chatter? Remember, you are responsible for your own thoughts and actions. Negative thoughts bring about a negative experience, and there is no one else responsible for them except you. There is no one else to blame. Reverend John was very clear on, we have this spiritual gift of free will, freedom of choice in a cause and effect universe. The divine creative process, our teaching symbol, the circle with the V in it, has input, the ideas, and then it has the law, the creative medium, that processes all of those ideas without judgment, without is it right, is it wrong. It just processes it. And the output comes out the bottom, the form. So when we put in ideas that are to our benefit, the law always says, yes, 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 yes. I will take whatever you give me and I will create it. And it is created. I'm going to tell you a story about a 38-year-old man who was at his parents' home for a Sunday dinner. In fact, he just moved back in with them. You know, there's a lot of families combining through economic change, a lot of people, grown adults, moving back in with their parents, or the grandparents moving in with their families. So he's there at this Sunday dinner, and he began telling his folks about the many problems he had. As you know, I've just left my third failed marriage. I can't hold on to my job. I'm in debt up to my ears, and I don't have any friends I can depend on. Life is just one struggle after another. I just don't understand why this is happening to me. Mom and Dad, where did you go wrong? Where did you go wrong? Think about that for a moment. How many times do we blame others for our problems? How many times do we blame our mothers, our fathers, our ex-wives, our ex-husband, our current wife, our current husband, our former boss, or our employer? How many times do we blame the government, the economy, the teachers, our doctors, our police force? How many times do we blame God for our misfortunes? When things don't go the way we would like them to, it's easy to blame others for our troubles. Too easy. It's a tactic of avoidance. It's how we are able to refuse to accept that we did something wrong or that we didn't do something right. And that's right back with our lesson title. If it's going to be, so whatever went on, if it's going to be, it's up to me. Me. Ralph Waldo Emerson, the great American transcendentalist, talking about him more next week with The Art of Self-Reliance, says, when you make a decision, the universe conspires to make it happen. I say that a lot. The universe always says yes. Whatever we put in our thoughts, our ideas, our emotions, that is what gets processed, and it comes out with a correlating result. I put in love, gets processed, I get out love. I put in anger, it gets processed, I get out angry situations that create anger. We are all on this endless cycle of putting in ideas, thoughts, emotions into this creative process and getting its natural result out. The way we can change what we're getting out, the only way is by changing what we put in. That's where new thoughts come in. There was an icon on last month's calendar for the last Sunday of the month, and it was a woman's head with a light bulb over it. And on one side, it said something like new ideas, and the other side, it said new results. So you have to have new ideas. You have to have new thoughts in order to get new results. And that's just a play on, if you keep doing the same thing and expecting a different result, that's the definition of insanity. So today, why not make the conscious decision to be happy, alive, awake, and aware that life is full of possibilities and opportunities for success? Wouldn't that be nice? Make that conscious decision to be aware. It's like willing to be willing. I can be willing to be willing to do something before I am actually willing to do something. Because being willing to do something takes much more effort and commitment. But being willing to be willing allows for an ease of growth. So let's go over these three steps. Possibility plus responsibility equals success. It's no secret that life is full of possibilities and opportunities for you to explore. That is the blessing of possibility thinking. The one mind of God is unlimited in thought. Therefore, you are unlimited in action. Everything you think of can move through your life. Ernest Holmes has this to say about limitless possibilities in the Science of Mind textbook on page 267. He starts out with, if we comply with the law complies with us. And that's just reminding us that the law is neutral. What you put in, you get a result out. And then he says, no man can demonstrate peace and cling to happiness, to unhappiness. No man can demonstrate peace and cling to unhappiness. He can demonstrate resignation and call it peace, but it will not be peace. No man can jump into the water and remain dry. This is contrary to law and to reason. No person whose entire time is spent in the contemplation of limitation can demonstrate freedom from such limitation. The law itself must be willing to give, because in so giving, life is self-expressed. So he's telling you what I just told you and what all these others have told us. Everything with God, all things are possible. And so we just need to align ourselves with that inner knowing of what those possibilities are. So possibility plus responsibility equals success. And step two is set your priorities and be responsible for making them happen. It can be something as simple as prioritizing your day. Do I wash the dishes, wash the dog, do the laundry, vacuum the house, or go shopping? Go shopping? Go shopping sounds good. Whatever needs to be done, prioritize your life and take responsibility to make it happen. Your decision could be a life-changing event. Do I go back to school? Do I interview for that dream job? Do I retire or work a few more years? Do I move? Do I stay where I am? Do I study to become a practitioner? Or do I just take classes for my own spiritual advancement? Only you know what is most important to you, and that can change. I took my first Science of Mind class for my own spiritual advancement. And then I just kept taking classes. And then I thought, I think I want to be a practitioner. And so I took my practitioner studies. And I was a practitioner for 5 years and thought, the things I'm doing, the way I'm living my life, all of this is calling me into ministry. That there's more that I can do, more that I can serve. And so I went into seminary. So just because the very first class I wanted for my own spiritual advancement doesn't mean that somewhere in the depths of my soul it wasn't looking forward to becoming a minister and leading this center. So make a commitment. Prioritize what is in front of you. If you have that long-term vision, be aware of it. But if it just seems like I need to prioritize these things right now, go ahead. Because your inner self is going to guide you where it knows that you need to go that you haven't caught on to yet. But you will. You will. We all have our own path. It's a unique path for everybody. And if we don't know what it is going in, that's okay. It will be revealed. Only you know what is most important for you. So set your priorities and be responsible for making them happen. Step 3 is to make the commitment to follow through. Following through on your commitments is very important to your success in life. Anyone can say they have the responsibility to do something. However, it is only when you make the conscious commitment to follow through on your dreams and desires that your life is fulfilled the way you expect it. So you have to ask yourself, have you fully taken responsibility for your life? I'm going to tell you about something called spiritual bypass. Not following through on a commitment is sometimes called a spiritual bypass. It sounds funny, and yet it's often used as an excuse for not following through on your convictions. A seasoned minister or practitioner will know when a spiritual bypass is being used. For example, someone loses their job and they say it was divine right action or it was God's will, when really they just messed up big time and will blame everyone else for their misfortune. When they say divine right action, technically they're telling the truth. Because we live in a cause and effect world. And so what they put out, incompetence or theft or failure to appear, whatever it was that was the problem with their performance in that job, that caused them to no longer be useful to their employer. And so when you have an employee that is no longer useful, you let them go. So technically, divine right action, but it's still a spiritual bypass when the person fails to accept responsibility for their own role. It doesn't mean, this is not meant to be judgmental or to blame anyone. It just means that it's more convenient for a lot of people to make excuses for why life isn't working out as planned. It's convenient. A spiritually conscious person can still take responsibility for their actions and decide how to respond to these disappointments in life by saying, if it's going to be, it's up to me. If my boss says you have to be there at 8 o'clock in the morning, if I want that job, I show up at 8 o'clock that morning or 10 till so I can get from the parking lot into my office. If it's going to be, it's my responsibility to embrace what it is I want and do that which supports it. Allow your dreams and your goals and your desires to manifest into glorious demonstrations of faith. Yay! Believe in yourself. Believe in yourself. And trust the one power and presence within you to accomplish all that you set out to do in life. Claim your freedom of self-reliance. Ralph Waldo Emerson said, most of the shadows of life are caused by standing in one's own sunshine. Here you are, and the sun is shining, and there's a shadow. When you focus on the shadow, you lose the light. I'd like to close this morning's lesson with a little parable that illustrates just how easy it is to fall into the bondage of not taking action or personal responsibility for anything, something, anything. Just, okay? This is a story about four people named Everybody, Somebody, Anybody, and Nobody. There was an important job to be done, and everybody was sure that somebody would do it. Anybody could have done it, but nobody did it. Somebody got angry about that because it was everybody's job. Everybody thought anybody could do it, but nobody realized that everybody wouldn't do it. It ended up that everybody blamed somebody when nobody did what anybody could have. And so that question becomes, who's on first? This is a beautiful parable. And if you read it carefully, you find that stuff did get done. Nobody did it. Nobody must be a very productive soul. And what that says to me is that it isn't important who we think should be doing it, because it's our job to do what we think needs to be done. If we see something that needs to be done, chances are it's ours to do. Or at least ours to coordinate. So, join us next week with my lesson entitled The Art of Self-Reliance. And if in the meantime you want to read Ralph Waldo Emerson's essay Self-Reliance, you'll be ahead of the game. So, thank you for your time and attention. Namaste.